So scientists have been warning us that we're wreaking havoc on our planet. We're told about how our soil is getting deteriorated and our freshwater supplies, as we just heard, is getting polluted. We're told about all of these problems, and we're told how it's going to impact us. It's not just our polar ice caps that are going to be melting, but it's going to impact our coastal cities. We're told about all of this, but then we're not really given many options on what we might be able to do about it. We're told to recycle, use fuel-efficient cars, maybe turn the lights off when we're leaving the room. We feel powerless against this issue, and it also seems as if it's the responsibility of government to take care of. And yet we know that government is in gridlock. So now what are we left to do? Well, what if I told you that we actually do hold the power? And that power is what we wear every day. It's our clothing. Because what people haven't told you is under the radar, the apparel industry has actually become the second most polluting industry in the world. So I'd like to talk today about how we got to this place and how we can take back control and use our power to both answer the question, what am I going to wear today, and the world's more pressing problems. So it was the leadership of IKEA that recently said that we have reached peak stuff. And that is certainly true when it comes to our clothing. If you see here, in the 1960s, the average American invested in 25 new pieces of clothing every year. A generation later, today, and we purchase 3 times as much clothing as we did in the 60s. So how did this come about? Did we just decide one day, oh yes, like I want to purchase a lot more clothes of less quality? That, sign me up for that. It didn't happen that way. It started as trade barriers actually came down, which created a financial incentives for brands to move their production overseas. And this generally created a trend for cheaper and cheaper clothing using cheaper materials and cheap labor. Meanwhile, these fast fashion companies, and that's what this industry is called, this fast fashion companies had huge marketing budgets to try to convince all of us that their cheap clothing was somehow covetable. So we bought more and more. But more isn't always more. You see, in the 1960s, when we were investing in 25 pieces of clothing, and they really were investments because at that time, we spent over 10% of our salary on clothing every year. 95% of American clothing, what we wore, was American-made. Today, it is less than 2%. And that drop actually represents an 80% drop in apparel manufacturing jobs in this country. So I'm sure we all have our own experiences of dealing with fast fashion and experiencing fast fashion. I have my own. Having come from Minnesota, I remember going to New York when H&M first opened. And I was so excited, I have to admit. I loved the size of the store and the lights and the smell was kind of crazy. And there was this blasting music, and I just, like, ate it up. And I bought clothes by the bagful. And I didn't really think that I, like, maybe knew what I wanted, but it didn't really seem to matter because the prices were just so cheap. I mean, a jumpsuit for less than $20. But what I ultimately found out is that all of that cheap clothing has huge consequences, both for the environment and for the people making our clothing. So let's take a look at why that is. So it turns out that the fast fashion industry is fueled by a new type of fiber, polyester. You can see there's a line. H&M opens in New York in 2001. That's when I was visiting. And you can see at that stage, that was when cotton was no longer king. And just take a look at the rise of polyester as fast fashion has come onto the scene. So polyester, for those that you don't know, is a polluting plastic made from fossil fuels. And it's now in over half of our clothing. Let's talk about why that might be an issue. There are four
Now, listen again.
So, scientists have been warning us that we're wreaking havoc on our planet. We're told about how our soil is getting deteriorated and our freshwater supplies, as we just heard, is getting polluted. We're told about all of these problems, and we're told how it's going to impact us. It's not just our polar ice caps that are going to be melting, but it's going to impact our coastal cities. We're told about all of this, but then we're not really given many options on what we might be able to do about it. We're told to recycle, use fuel-efficient cars, maybe turn the lights off when we're leaving the room. We feel powerless against this issue, and it also seems as if it's the responsibility of government to take care of. And yet we know that government is in gridlock. So now what are we left to do? Well, what if I told you that we actually do hold the power? And that power is what we wear every day. It's our clothing. Because what people haven't told you is under the radar, the apparel industry has actually become the second most polluting industry in the world. So I'd like to talk today about how we got to this place and how we can take back control and use our power to both answer the question, what am I going to wear today, and the world's more pressing problems. So it was the leadership of IKEA that recently said that we have reached peak stuff. And that is certainly true when it comes to our clothing. If you see here, in the 1960s, the average American invested in 25 new pieces of clothing every year. A generation later, today, and we purchase 3 times as much clothing as we did in the 60s. So how did this come about? Did we just decide one day, oh yes, like I want to purchase a lot more clothes of less quality? That, sign me up for that. It didn't happen that way. It started as trade barriers actually came down, which created a financial incentives for brands to move their production overseas. And this generally created a trend for cheaper and cheaper clothing using cheaper materials and cheap labor. Meanwhile, these fast fashion companies, and that's what this industry is called, this fast fashion companies had huge marketing budgets to try to convince all of us that their cheap clothing was somehow covetable. So we bought more and more. But more isn't always more. You see, in the 1960s, when we were investing in 25 pieces of clothing, and they really were investments because at that time, we spent over 10% of our salary on clothing every year. 95% of American clothing, what we wore, was American-made. Today, it is less than 2%. And that drop actually represents an 80% drop in apparel manufacturing jobs in this country. So I'm sure we all have our own experiences of dealing with fast fashion and experiencing fast fashion. I have my own. Having come from Minnesota, I remember going to New York when H&M first opened. And I was so excited, I have to admit. I loved the size of the store and the lights and the smell was kind of crazy. And there was this blasting music, and I just, like, ate it up. And I bought clothes by the bagful. And I didn't really think that I, like, maybe knew what I wanted, but it didn't really seem to matter because the prices were just so cheap. I mean, a jumpsuit for less than $20. But what I ultimately found out is that all of that cheap clothing has huge consequences, both for the environment and for the people making our clothing. So let's take a look at why that is. So it turns out that the fast fashion industry is fueled by a new type of fiber, polyester. You can see there's a line. H&M opens in New York in 2001. That's when I was visiting. And you can see at that stage, that was when cotton was no longer king. And just take a look at the rise of polyester as fast fashion has come onto the scene. So polyester, for those that you don't know, is a polluting plastic made from fossil fuels. And it's now in over half of our clothing. Let's talk about why that might be an issue. There are four.
This is the end of part 2.